Facebook is a social networking service and website founded in February 2004. It is the most popular social network on the internet. Facebook has over 900 million users. People who are users log on to exchange pictures and ideas and dreams, and they may create a personal profile, add other friends, and exchange messages. Yet not everyone who logs on to Facebook contributes. There are people who are on Facebook just to hang around. They read what others have written. They look at the pictures others have posted. They do not write anything. They do not share any information. They only browse and look. And Facebook has noticed this trend, and the company regards such conduct as a problem. Why is because Facebook needs advertising revenue to survive. And advertisers look at the activity which occurs on the site. And the amount of activity which occurs dictates how much an advertiser is willing to pay to Facebook, and they look at the activity of those who are logged on. People who do not contribute are just dead weight. These, quote, anonymous Facebookers, quote, do not count in the statistics upon which revenue is a base, and therefore they are not good for the bottom line. Well, just recently, Facebook devised a solution that it hopes will solve the problem. It has a new set of features intended to guilt people who are not active into getting involved once they log on. And these features are supposed to subtly shame anonymous Facebookers into being more interactive on the site and less anonymous. And you know, as I read an article regarding this, it's a recent article, a couple of months old, I realized that the church had experienced or has experienced the same problem over the years. A story is told of a man who was leaving church one Sunday. And of course, the preacher was at the door shaking hands of people who left. And when the man stuck out his hand, the pastor took it and pulled him aside. And the preacher looked at him intently and said, "You need to join the Lord's army, son." The man replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, preacher." The preacher asked, "Well, why don't I see you except at Easter and Christmas?" And the man leaned over and whispered and said, "I'm in the Secret Service." Regrettably, there are people who are not involved with church. They show up at church, sure, sometimes. They watch, they sit. They may sing when we sing hymns. They may listen to the service, and then they return home. These people do nothing else. They do not invest themselves in God's family. They are anonymous in their faith. They are kind of in a secret service. Well, our text today addresses that issue. It's Hebrews 10:19-25, and it teaches us that being anonymous is not the way that God wishes for us to serve. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Our text teaches us that we are not called to be anonymous in our faith. We are called to be confident and bold. Verse 19 states, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. We also have assurance and hope as well. In verse 22 we read, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And in verse 23 it instructs us to hold unswervingly to the hope we professed, for he who promised is faithful. We have confidence, boldness, assurance, and hope. And God has given us these attributes so we could develop the ability to be unswerving in displaying them and in using them. And someone possessed of these characteristics is not an anonymous believer. He or she is demonstrating a bold and powerful way to express their faith. Paul expresses it this way, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. We possess the power of God. Think of that. We here at Smith Crossroads in this community, in this county, in this state possess the power of God. We ought to be ashamed of nothing. As Christians and as believers, we possessed a gift no other in the world or nothing else in the world can offer. So why would we be ashamed of that gift? Why would we want to be shy about sharing it with someone? Why would we want to be anonymous? And now I know for the most part I'm probably preaching to the choir here today. Most of you are invested in some form of ministry for Jesus. You could not be anonymous in your faith if you wore a disguise. People would recognize you. People know those of you who have faith, who show that bold assurance and that hope that God has given us, and we demonstrate it to others. But make no mistake, there are those in this church, there are those who come to Ephesus Baptist Church who just sit and watch. They accomplish nothing for the advancement of God's kingdom, and if you're not doing anything for Jesus, the question becomes why? Why would you even come to the house of the Lord? But more importantly, why aren't you doing something for Jesus. Now, unlike Facebook, I'm not trying to guilt anybody into working for Jesus. I'm not attempting to shame anyone into loving Him. Either you love Jesus enough to work for Him and to serve Him, or you don't love Him enough to work for Him and serve Him. But I can tell you with absolute certainty, it is important to Jesus that we work for and serve Him. He said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple." John 15:8. If we are His disciples, we shall bear fruit. If we bear fruit, people will know to whom we belong. And when we bear fruit, such will give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Remember verse 24 of our text states, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on forward toward love and good deeds." The author of Hebrews tells us that boldness in our faith should be the bulwark of our faith. It should lead us to spur each other on to bear fruit for Jesus. The author of Hebrews says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And I think we see the day approaching. The day of judgment is approaching. And obviously, it gets closer with each passing day. And obviously, we don't know what day it is, but from God's word, He tells us it can be any day. It will come like a thief in the night. We will have no warning other than those signs that God's word has given us and that are happening as we speak today. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Well, where could we possibly meet? How about at church? How about in Sunday school? How about in worship service? How about at Bible study? How about at vacation Bible school? How about at choir practice? How about at committee meetings? How about at recreational time when we start using the Family Life Center? How about even meetings that are held in homes that involve the church? The cottage prayer meetings, the WMU meetings. There are plenty of opportunities for us to meet together. Church was designed by God to be a place where we interact and challenge each other to do good works and great deeds of love in God's name. Jesus died to establish the church, His church. And Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus and many other heroes of the New Testament spent a great portion of their lives establishing local congregations, building them up, and strengthening them. And if Jesus died to establish His church, and great men and women struggled to build and sustain His church, there must be a reason that it exists. And that reason is to help us to be bold for Jesus, to help us to be unswerving in our hope of eternal life, and to provide us with the fellowship of other Christians to spur us on to do good works in Jesus' name. However, there are some who believe they can be anonymous Christians. Their desire is not to be bold for Jesus. Their desire is not to be encouraged by other Christians to be a loving person and perform good works. They want to be in the secret service of God. But let me tell you, friends, such is not permissible by nor acceptable to God. There is no secret service in the Lord's army. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no promise of salvation by any other religion other than Christianity. There is no promise of salvation in any types of works and deeds. There is no promise of salvation by the words of a theologian or a great preacher. There is no other name under heaven except Jesus by which we can be saved. The promise of salvation can be found in the name only of Jesus Christ. We cannot stumble into salvation, and we cannot become a Christian by being anonymous. We must deliberately and consciously and purposely believe in the Lord, in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and confess Him as such. We must believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must believe we are sinners and in need of forgiveness and in need of a change in our life. We must believe we need Jesus to be in charge of our life. And we must believe we need to join Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection by being buried in the waters of Christian baptism and rising up to be a new creature in Christ. Do you believe? As you sit here in God's house, do you believe? If you do believe, praise God. Thank God. If Satan has placed doubts in your mind to weaken your belief in God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible, then turn to God in prayer for strength and power to overcome the enemy. If you have never made a public profession of your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, what better day than today? What better time than right now? Profess your belief in Jesus as Lord and be bold in proclaiming Him as Savior in your life. Bear fruit, showing yourself to be Jesus' disciple. You have that opportunity. You may not have it tomorrow, tonight, next week, next year. Why not take advantage of that opportunity as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 287.